their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And welcome back to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. And we're coming to you from wonderful Colorado Springs, Colorado, where it's still cold. But yep. Hey, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
We got a good topic today, right, Rick?
Yeah, we do.
Well, we think it's good.
Well, it's a reader question, so those are always good.
Right.
So, or listener, not a listener. Reader.
Right, but we
did read it, though.
We read it, yes. We got a post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors, from a longtime listener going back all the way to 2006, Lee Gregory. And Lee is still shooting film and doing some processing. And he listened to our lo-fi episode way back when and was wondering if we still shot film and if we had any tips for film and, you know, what can we do? And, you know, one of the things he mentioned is that, he really likes shooting film because of the necessity of slowing down and composing and validating exposure before you click the button, because, you know, it's money, it's a tangible thing. So we decided we would start off by answering the question and talk a little bit more about our thoughts on this whole
thing. Yeah, because we ended up in a little bit of a discussion when we talked about it the other day, and we thought, well, let's just do this during the podcast.
Exactly.
Might be interesting. Maybe not, but we'll try.
So to answer Lee's question specifically, no, we don't shoot film. And I think you may have hung on to it. Well, no. I mean, I hung on to film until about 2005. And once I got my D2X that year, by the fall of that year, and I got the camera in like May, and by the fall of 2005, I realized I wasn't going to be shooting film anymore. And I took what little slide film was left in my freezer, and I think I sold it on Nikonians or something, or eBay, or, you know, wherever. I still have one film camera. I know you have all yours, but that's for different reasons.
They're fun.
You know, they're right. And they're cool and they're well made and, you know, but
I did shoot film longer than you did.
I think you went back to it at times.
Yeah. And I would say I did that through, you know, maybe I'll say it a different way, up until maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
I would, and do, I know, it sporadically.
Medium format stuff.
Yeah.
And things that you play with. So, you know, we're not shooting film at all, really, at this point. So I don't have any recommendations on specific tips.
Well, I think we
I
think we can talk through stuff because we had enough experience with it, and a lot of the technologies haven't changed dramatically.
Right.
In fact, if anything, it's probably a little bit less robust than it was a few years back in terms of scanner options and a variety of things like
that. Well, let's just talk about why you might want to shoot film.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about the reasons for it. And then of course, there's some challenges with it.
And I think it would be good to back up a little bit if we talked about what we were thinking when we were actively shooting film, what were we striving for, and what were we not striving for? Emphasis on the latter, because that's something that I think has changed for some people. So, at least for me, and I think it's fairly similar to you, what we were trying to do when we were shooting film is to get the very best images we could, so that if we wanted to, we could print large. And so, you know, grain, we tried to minimize. We tried to have good color accuracy, especially if we were replicating a slide and we liked the way the slide looked. We wanted to be able to achieve that same look. If we were shooting colored print film, we were trying to get as neutral, as nice of, quote, looking colors as we could get while minimizing the problems. And working that way is different than what I see a lot of people doing today, which is especially embracing the look of color negative film, including aged color negative film, faded color negative film, you know, a variety of things. And so it's more a matter of embracing the problems that we saw and almost highlighting them as opposed to trying to make them go away. So it's a different thought process.
It is. And I'd also want to throw in there that by the time that I was getting back into photography, you know, more seriously versus hobby, you know, we're talking late 90s, early 2000s. The whole point was shoot the film and then take the rest of the workflow through digitally in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least with color film, and particularly true with color transparencies, you know, slides, traditional darkroom stuff isn't really available to the average person at home.
Temperatures have to be pretty precise.
I mean, there's just a lot of things. And then making prints from slides, you know, would be something that I would send off to a lab to do until I got a scanner.
Yeah.
And then it became, oh, look at all this stuff that I can do.
Yeah, because the quality was so awful from most labs, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the run-of-the-mill ones, really, really bad. And the ones that charged you a lot were just bad. I really didn't have very many good experiences compared to, you know, when I did my own dark room.
When I lived in California. Well, but in your own dark room, it's tough, yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, so there is the, if I think you have to ask yourself why you're shooting film, if that's what you want to do, because if your goal is a digital workflow,
it's a bad way to do it.
It kind of seems kind of silly, but if you're doing black and white enlargements at home because you set up a darkroom, that's a totally different thing, because that's a fun thing to do. It's a cool process.
Yeah. I will soften up my statement a little bit, though. I think if you enjoy it, that's a good enough reason.
Sure.
Even if you're doing a hybrid analog and digital workflow, if you enjoy it and get pleasure out of it and like the results, that's good enough. It's, you know, it's not all about efficiency or things like that.
No. It just can get expensive.
But, yeah.
And when I think about people shooting film today, I sort of see them, I sort of see people sort of in a couple of different camps. One is people who shot film in the past and, you know, maybe they've been digital for a long time and they just want to go back and remember that experience, that nostalgia, that pleasure that comes with slowing down. Like our reader or listener pointed out, slowing down, thinking more about your composition. Now, these are all things you can do if you shoot digital.
Yes, you can.
I mean, it's not a requirement of film, but film does make you think a little bit, because there is a limited number of frames in the roll of film, and you know, you could do that. But you could also say, well, I'm going to go out today, I'm only going to allow myself to shoot 36 pictures, no deletes. But again, I get it. Also, the old film cameras can just be fun to use.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, they're nice. In a lot of cases, they're just, it's a different experience than looking through an electronic viewfinder or something, right? So those, that's really great. So if you just like it for that, there's those people. Then there's people who've never shot film ever.
A surprising number.
Right, because it's been a while since.
It shouldn't be a surprise, I guess, but I still am surprised by it.
Right, so people.
Because it doesn't seem like that long ago, but it was. Oh,
yeah, I mean. Well, it's 2020 now, so you know, the 90s were 30 years ago almost. It's crazy. We'll leave that for another
day. No math in public.
Yeah, no. But it's been a long time, right? So there's a whole generation of people who've pretty much grown up without really ever dealing with film. And so that could be novelty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no better way to get the faded color negative look than shoot old color negative film, right? I mean, yeah. That's the way to do it. The one category that I guess I personally, and I don't want this to sound controversial, but, you know, I'm not judging anybody, but I really struggle with the idea of shooting film just for the sake of shooting film, for a project or a client, you know, unless that's what they really want for reasons, maybe they want negatives. You know, there's so much you can do now with digital, you know, I'll just throw out black and white, you know, perfect example. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you really need to shoot black and white film to get the black and white look, because you can do it in post so easily.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If that's the, you can deliver a client a black and white image that looks like you shot it on Tri-X. You can deliver them the same image in color if you shot it with digital, and they can choose the look that they want.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, what we're really talking about is comparing 35 millimeter film to similar sized digital cameras, as opposed to large format, 8x10, 4x5 even. Those are different things, and there's a kind of a unique aesthetic there.
Right. And one thing I should just mention is that printing technology is really good, but there's a company out in Boston or the Boston area called Digital Silver Imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with them in the past to make some prints. They will do traditional darkroom silver gelatin printing from your digital file of a black and white or whatever. So they literally expose the paper using a raster imager, and then they put it in the tank. And what you get back is outstanding. You get an actual, so the return, you know, the final printed product is like what you would have had from film, only mm-hmm. it came from a digital file. So really cool. I don't have any affiliation with them other than they're a great company. So,
right.
But check them out, Digital Silver Imaging. I mean, it's if you want to make black and white silver gelatin prints, it's a cool way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but back to the whole, you know, should you be shooting film? You know, what's the role of film in today's, you know, it's there, but there's some challenges with it, right?
Yeah. If it were me shooting film these days, I probably would not shoot slide film. I shot a lot of it in the past, especially for landscape stuff and scanned it, but that's because I was doing what we talked about earlier. I was striving for a certain look. Mm-hmm. Grain was less of an issue with slide film, especially if you used slow speed film. And then you had a very easy thing to replicate. You could look at this slide and say, that's what it's supposed to look like.
You have a reference.
Presuming this is a good image.
Yeah.
You could see the colors, the brightness, what the shadows were like, highlight detail, and then try to replicate it. If you were using negative film, especially color negative film, really hard to look at a color negative and say, okay.
Right.
So you've got to do a number of things to get the white balance right. Just the colors not looking weird, and profiles and scanner software can help you with that kind of stuff. Or if you're using traditional just enlargers and stuff, yeah. You know, filter packs and stuff will help. But color negative film does have some virtues. It has wider latitude, you know, for certain than slide film, especially in the highlights.
Right. You could really push those.
Yeah. You could overexpose the shot by two or three stops. And then when you look at your final image, that, you know, on a print or whatever, it'll look completely normal. It just got a lot of flexibility. Can't do that with digital. Not to that degree.
Not for the highlights.
Yeah. I mean, the shadows are a lot more sensitive with negative film. You mm-hmm. cannot underexpose very much. You can do a little, and then it'll start getting kind of faded looking on you if it's color film. Really nasty looking, actually.
Yeah.
Grainy. So you just have to be careful, but lots of room to maneuver on the highlight side. So exposure is less sensitive with negative film. And you have a little bit more leeway in terms of color balance, too, mm-hmm. to get it right. And it's a look that seems to be popular these days. You know?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think of the use case for, you know, there's the person who just wants to play. mm-hmm. and shoot film. And then there's the people who want to just shoot film because it gives them a look. And I think in those, it would be a fair bet to say that most of us do not have a color darkroom lab in our basement.
Right.
You know, so we're not really going to be talking about processing color film and making color enlargements at home. You're going to have to send them somewhere. And I think that's one of the challenges that film shooters will find themselves in, because you can still get film. In fact, some film manufacturers are bringing back emulsions, mm-hmm. Because there is some popularity there, but you need to find a place that will process it for you. And it might not be your corner drugstore anymore.
No, but you can mail it.
But right. So you just have to be aware that you're going to have to get it processed somewhere. And you're also going to have to realize that, you know, if the point was to take snapshots on your vacation and you come back with 4x6 prints and a set of negatives and you go, but boy, I really wanted to share those on my Facebook page. Now I've got to scan them. You know, you're dealing with that same problem of you've now got to digitize the film. So, you know, for me, I find it kind of hard to want to go back to that, because I've got boxes full of negatives, sleeves, you know, I've never scanned them. It's a thing. Now there is a neat thing. And it just popped into my head while we're talking about scanning, because you and I both had film scanners.
I still do.
I think I still have mine. It's in the closet somewhere, but I still have a Nikon cool scan something or other. And there were issues with that, because you couldn't always get things flat, and
right.
You know, they were just curving.
And that was true in enlargers too, right. Unless you used carriers with glass and things like that.
You had to flatten things,
which had their own issues.
Right. But one cool thing, and I will, it is kind of nice, because maybe you're not looking to shoot more film, but maybe you need to digitize your film. You know, you can send it out. There are places that will scan stuff in bulk for you.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, just in the last couple of years, Nikon, for example, made a film imaging adapter to go on the D850. I think you can use it on any camera with the mount. It requires the use of one of Nikon's 60mm macro lenses. Doesn't have to be the new fancy autofocus one. You can use the older ones, but a 60mm macro, and then you put this on the front of it, and it will take an image of your slide or your negative. And the D850 is unique in that it has a negative, a mode where you can say, I'm taking a picture of a color negative, and it will invert everything for you. It will
right.
reverse it in camera. And then what you've got, which is nice, unlike a scan, is you've got a raw file, you know, a digital mm-hmm. raw file that you save and you digitize, and it can go very quickly compared to the scanners, which tend to be slow, and then they output a TIFF and whatever, you know, just lots of ways to screw up. So I think it's a cool adapt, you know, it's a cool item for people who are looking to, you know, maybe, I forget what it's called, but it's got a name, but I think it's a neat accessory. And it's not terribly expensive. The lens is probably more expensive than the adapter itself.
The scanners will have some advantages over something like that, especially when it comes to dust and dirt.
Right, they have that noise reduction.
And if it's tools. An older image you're pulling out of your archives, I can promise it'll probably be dirty.
Right. So get yourself a can of canned air, a little brush to clean off your negatives,
and then be prepared to do lots and lots of retouching.
Right. My scanner, and I think yours too, had a automatic scratch and dust removal tool.
Yeah.
Which utilized an infrared channel, I believe, mm-hmm. when it would scan it, and then would try to erase those.
And those worked pretty decently.
Right. Yeah. Didn't like Kodachrome film
no.
that much, but
no.
it was good with all the other stuff. So.
But I, you know, if it were me, like I said, I would probably go the negative film route right now. I would seriously consider having someone else do the film processing, because that part isn't very creative, quite honestly. About the only thing you can do there is push and pull the film. But if you're sending it off to a lab who knows what they're doing, you can tell them to take care of that stuff
mm-hmm.
for you. And then what you're left with are the negatives that you can scan or use the tool that you were talking about and then go from there. And that's where you get into a little bit more of the creative process, and you can still get that film look. You can still have the film shooting experience. Most of the good stuff without the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I think another thing to consider too is, what is the purpose of your output? In other words, if you want prints because you want to make a collage or an art project or something that uses prints, print film is great. In fact, another fun thing would be like those Polaroid mm-hmm. type of things where you talk about lo-fi. You know, you get, but there it comes out and you get the Polaroid, but you can have those and they can stick them on your wall, on your bulletin board, just like you would mm-hmm. without having to deal with, oh, I got to print this, you know, or do something to it. If that's all you're looking for, then it's a really fun, potentially fun project. We'll shoot some film, we'll get the pictures back and we'll put them on our cork board, or we'll make a, you know, we'll do a project with them. I think that could be fun.
One thing I just thought about when you mentioned it, which we've never talked about, but Fuji makes some little portable printers called Instax.
Yes.
Instax printers. You can either use them directly from a Fuji camera, or you can use them from your phone. And in the case of a phone, you can have images from whatever camera on there mm-hmm. and then send them to the printer. But they give you something that's a lot like an old Polaroid print. Comes out in about the same amount of time, kind of similar quality, not perfect, but not terrible. And you can hand them out to friends or whatever. And those are actually kind of cool.
Yeah. There's
I might have one.
Oh, you might have. Yeah, there you go. Maybe, maybe.
I might.
Well, anyway, again, we want to both thank Lee for submitting his question to us and prompting us on this episode. And of course, we look forward to hearing back from all of our listeners, hopefully over time. We do appreciate it. Do we have any last minute parting thoughts before we wrap this one up, Rick?
I've got a deer in the headlights look in my face. I wasn't expecting that question. I don't think so.
No, I think we've kind of covered. We're done. I'm kind of running out of things to discuss, but you know, think about it. It's not a bad thing. I think the argument for film, for using film as a tool to make, to force you into making exposure and composition adjustments in the field, I think that is actually a weaker argument than what it might sound like, especially when you think about cameras that have things like live view histograms and stuff like that, where you can
nail the exposure. You know, if you want to have that experience, just force yourself into it.
Right.
You know,
don't go out and buy a film camera.
No, not to do that, because you can have that same experience many other ways.
And if you're looking for a film camera, there was an episode a while back where we actually talked about some options for that. There's tons of good used film cameras out there that you can pick up for a song.
But the one last thing, and I put it in the written response that I sent Lee, was I wouldn't worry too much at this point about getting the absolute best quality out of that process. I would focus more on having fun with it and embracing the limitations, you know, that ultimately result in a certain look. Just be okay with it. Don't do what we did in the 90s and early 2000s, trying to strive for technical perfection. I think it's the wrong focus these days.
Well, if that's what your goal is, that's what digital is all about. That's why we shoot digital.
Yeah. Not saying it's perfect, but it's pretty darn good.
Absolutely.
All right.
Cool. Well, until next time, thanks again for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.